Okay, test. Great, perfect. Okay, so I started recording. We can start whenever y'all are ready.
Don't say y'all.
Ready.
You can say well, y'all. I was born ready.
Don't you tell him
I gave him the y'all pass.
Ballsy.
I was born with jaundice.
With what?
Jaundice? I don't know. Oh, jaundice, I never know family. How to say it.
Jaundice gang right here. All yellow.
I was a yellow girl.
Jaundice stick.
Okay.
Alright.
Jaundice.
Chadman, do you want to start?
Yep.
It was all yellow.
Hello everyone and welcome to Aneurysm, the top text show, the only podcast about memes, internet culture, and whatever the fuck we want to talk about. Today is episode, I think 33, but don't quote me on that, because I'm never sure about the number. We are interviewing the admins from Dumb Bitch Juice, a great page that posts memes on Facebook that I've discovered quite recently, but I gotta say, it was love at first sight. It's so funny. So we have three admins. I don't know if it's everyone on the team or if it's just the elite, but you're gonna introduce yourselves in whatever order you want.
Okay, hi, I'm Jess. I am from Australia, and it's not the entire admin team who's here today, but yeah, the three, I guess, original of us who started it together before adding other people.
I am John. I am from Indiana in America.
I'm Ben. I'm from the United States.
Great. So I only discovered your page recently, as I said. It was less than a year ago, I think. But I don't know when you started. You started a long time ago?
I think it was only about a year and a half or 2 years ago. The page that is currently up on Facebook is our second version of the page because our first version eventually got permanently zucked.
I see.
Yeah, we've been working on it together for about 2 years now.
Yeah, I think we actually started in January 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you guys have any pages before, or is it your first meme adventure?
Yeah, first one for myself. I had previously helped admin somebody's page for about 2 weeks. And so they kind of taught me the ropes. And then I think it was about a year after that we decided that we were going to start this page together. We kind of all met each other via the Simpsons meme world and had been chatting from there and, yeah, did that for about a year and then just went, hey, this could be fun. Let's start a page.
Nice. Very nice. Did the other guys have a page before or were you all page virgins?
I had run a page with a friend and I had also had a very... very small page with minor success. So I would consider that no pages.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I pretty much hung out in the group world, never really got into pages until Jess and Ben started one with me.
I'm a pretty faithful drinker of Dumb Bitch Juice, and I love the name, but I was wondering what inspired it.
There was a meme going around for a while, and it was a picture of like this fluffy white little Pomeranian drinking out of a juice carton. And it said Dumb Bitch Juice on it.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Love it. Yeah, and I don't know. I just kind of went, you know what? That could kind of work as a page name. It's coming from a meme. And yeah, we'll supply the juice to the people. And yeah, we kind of went from there.
Love that. John hated it. John despises the name.
Yeah, I to this day despise the name, but
it works. Oh.
It's time to take a sip.
Yeah.
No, it came about from John being like, hey, can we change the name? Because I reckon it would be hard for me to maybe ask some of my female friends to join that group. And I'm like, but I'm a girl and I made the name. It's cool. I said it's fine. And yeah, we pushed a little. But yeah, John was pretty accepting of it because... Ben and I were on the same page, I guess, with it. So poor John just kind of had to give in. But I'm glad he did.
I think your exact words were, eat shit, John.
John, if you had to rename the page, what name would you choose?
Well, I always wanted to name the page Bark, Bark, Bark. From a
that's worse. Name. Way worse.
It's much worse.
Okay.
It's much worse.
So, same question we always ask all our guests. What is your favorite meme at the moment?
And that is a good moment to remind everyone that this episode was recorded a very long time ago, so this is gonna get a little anachronic.
Mine will always remain the picture of that doll. It must have been on Antiques Roadshow or something like that, but it's a picture of an old vintage doll, and the caption that's come up on the TV show is, "Oi, Mr. You, Me, Dad." But the way that the meme is set up is like, "Call me Daddy," and then me, dot, dot. "Oi, Mr. You, Me, Dad."
Oh, I've seen that
anyway,
one.
I ruined that by explaining it, but I love that meme.
You'll have to send the picture and we'll post it on our Instagram.
Oh, for sure.
I cannot get enough of the Bernie memes right now.
Oh yeah, they're great.
Just in the last few days, there's been so many great ones. I cannot get enough of them. No matter where you put Bernie, I love it.
Yeah,
that's such an obscure meme.
That's funny.
You Me Dad.
I think it's from a Tumblr or something like this, and they post a lot of these, and I really love them. I hadn't seen this specific one, but I've seen a lot of memes with a similar format. I really love them.
It's definitely more on the $40 rather than the $70 end of that spectrum.
$70 is the right person. Come on.
Yeah. Oh.
That's going to be my next Tinder profile photo.
Ooh. Can't buy. That's going to be my new Bumble bio. Can't buy, must woo. Love that.
Oh, wow. Subversive.
Yeah.
That's lovely. That's beautiful.
And then there's also the classic painting that kills you if you look at it.
There should be more paintings like this.
In the Suicide Museum. Sorry.
What?
No, it wasn't important. I was just going to say that Bernie literally looked that. Like he was just, he had many things to do that day, and he just looked like stopping by the inauguration was on the
yes.
That was the first one I saw pretty early on, that one, yeah.
But it's true. Like, that's exactly how he looked.
I totally understand where he'd be at, though. Like, it's all a bit of a farce for him.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little bit of a farce.
I don't know if you guys play The Legend of Zelda at all, but the best one I saw was Bernie sitting next to King Zora from Ocarina of Time.
I've seen that one.
I can imagine him slowly.
The one who takes a million years.
Yeah.
I've seen it, I can totally imagine it.
Have you seen the ones that combine him sitting with the "I am once again asking" meme? Yeah, there's a few there.
Hybrid.
Yeah, they've made a great little Bernie hybrid meme. One of them was just classic that, because he was wearing the same jacket as he was in the classic "I am once again asking" video, and it was like, "I am once again wearing this jacket." Just, a lot of the,
It looks like a very practical jacket. I like his style.
That's what Vermonters do. They wear practical jackets. That's why he would have been the best. Practical
jacket in the winter and utility kilt in the summer.
Oh, that sums it up perfectly. The Watchmen.
Yes.
I feel like we should be describing some of these just because it's a very just sharing images.
I mean, they will end up on the Instagram.
This is an audio reaction show.
Yeah, you just hear all laughter. Okay. Like,
it's like, yes, you can hear them reacting to things you cannot see.
guess what they're reacting to? You ain't heard nothing.
He's like, "I'm once again asking to become a meme."
The Michael Jackson one you said was like the first meme I ever made, like ever. But I did this in Microsoft Paint. I got a picture of myself that I'd taken off like a digital Kodak camera back in 2002 or some shit. And I put my face on top of Michael Jackson's because I started working in a childcare center. So yeah, I'm really fond of anything to do with that Michael Jackson meme.
And we actually have one of our admins is obsessed with Michael Jackson. So I made sure I saved that to show her later.
Nice.
We I actually quite enjoy just mentioning that he's a pedophile and ruining her day every day.
Are they on the didn't do it side of the fence?
Of course.
Yeah, unfortunately. And she would be mad at us for bringing up Michael Jackson in this podcast, so we probably shouldn't.
I think we should spend the next hour debating Michael Jackson.
Would one argue that he's a hardened pedophile?
Well, he was only into little boys anyway, so it's not really a problem for her.
Exactly.
That's fair.
It's definitely too late.
She doesn't have to be scared.
I think that's why she can, like...
You always want what you can't have, right?
Yeah. So she's a mum, which makes me find it, like, funnier that she's so defensive of him, but her children are girls, so I think that's why she can be delusional about it.
Yep. And I actually live about 20 minutes from Michael Jackson's childhood home, and I refuse to drive past it and take a picture for her.
What do you think about the rumor that there's a rumor that says that he's dead? Do you believe that shit?
No. Absolutely not.
We all know he's
Titus will say
we all know he's just cryogenically frozen, you know, just he's on ice.
I think he's actually inside Miranda Cosgrove's body.
I think she's a bit old for him. But yeah. I think he's just too lazy to record a new album, and so that's why he started the rumor that he's dead, so he doesn't have to release any more albums.
I mean, he told people he was going on tour first, so, you know, that was really... Because at the time, he was all like, this is it.
And he was telling people that he was going to go on this
massive... He told people he was going to go on this massive tour, and then, like, it didn't happen. Probably after everyone bought their tickets.
I think what happened is that his boyfriend told him to do this, but, like, since his boyfriend is, like, 5'0" old, it's, like, not very good at coming up with stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh. Like, Fast and the Furious, like, written by a 5-year-old or something.
Yep.
What's the cliche where they're like, you know, I was one day from retirement? Has anyone made that with Michael Jackson?
No.
No, that's a good idea. Yeah.
There you go, world. You're welcome. Do it.
We don't make any, so you do it.
You need to patent that shit.
No, you guys make the meme. Then our page will just steal it and put it on there.
Aaron is pretty good at original content.
I'm okay at it.
Glad one of us is, because I'm far too lazy for original content.
I make one maybe once a year, and it's usually good.
Your annual meme.
I don't want to ruin my winning streak.
I make them all the time, but people don't see them because I'm not good at it, and it's just too bad. I like to practice once in a while.
We all have our specialities.
I gave one to you. It was,
What?
I gave one to the Chad Mojito page. I think it got like...
A donation.
1.5K or something.
Oh. What was it?
It was... I fucking love science one where he's holding up his phone and it's, but it was just like the template for the Chad and the Virgin or like the Chad and, but like just no one had done that yet.
I remember.
I just like jumped on it immediately.
I remember. I probably still have it. That was fun.
I love memes that ironically make fun of like science and logic and things like the Santa denier one when that went around, like the mental gymnastics of a Santa denier. And then I've like seen ones where it's like atheists be like, fucking facts and logic are haunting my house, like shit like that.
Yeah,
I really really appreciate those ones.
They're great.
Checkmate atheists.
Yeah. Godzilla versus atheist Zilla.
There's ones where there's like a model walking along the beach, but she's holding hands with a gorilla or something, and it just says, "This is real life. The atheist gets the girl."
Yes, so good, so good.
Yeah. No.
Oh my god.
I think we got Jess's favorite meme there, but it may have completely missed or skimmed over what John or Ben's favorite memes were.
No, I think John said Bernie Sanders.
I thought that was just a topical thing.
My bad.
John is just very topical.
For sure.
Yeah.
Is it just me or does Elon Musk... Is it just me or does Elon Musk kind of look like his face is not real?
A little bit.
He's kind of...
I watch an interview and I'm like... It just looks like his eyes are just like poking out of a face that's not his face, you know? Like, I'm not gonna go all like conspiracy on this, but his face looks like weird.
Zuckerberg's a bit like that, though. His eyes are just
I think he looks more real than Elon Musk, honestly.
What? No.
He looks Zuckerberg like,
No way.
No.
It's real, but he looks like a real lizard.
Zuckerberg looks like a wax statue.
He looks like a wax statue of a robot.
It doesn't even look like the wax statue of a normal person. He looks like the doll based after another doll.
I can't get over the photo of him surfing with like the sunscreen lathered all over his face.
That's
I can't deal.
It's because he'll melt if he doesn't have it.
I'm sorry, what's funny about Robert's skin here in the sun? There's nothing funny about that.
No. Let me tell you, as someone with SPF, I wear SPF 50 every day, but I rub it into my skin. I think he thinks it's like foundation when you just take it on.
It's like a shield.
It's a barrier.
Isn't it like this surf wax that you can put on that doesn't come off with the waves? You know, this like chapstick looking stuff that you just... Like I saw that one time.
We're not making excuses.
Yeah, like he just doesn't want to melt. It's okay.
I wonder if there are people who like, you know how you get experimental artists. I wonder if there are people who will like deliberately lie there in the sun and have people like paint portraits on their back using like sun lotion, so they have like some amazingly artistic looking sunburns on their back.
We used to do that in high school.
Pretty commonly in Australia. That's like,
yeah,
I would just do a dick every time.
It's always dicks.
Use the dry peeled off skin as my as my medium.
You tell can papier mâché it together.
Oh no! Sorry, I'm
sick. Maybe that's why Zuckerberg does that. You know, he doesn't want his skin to peel off because then people will be like, "Look, he's a reptile because he's shedding."
They can clone him.
They'll sell his skin.
I wonder what color his blood is. I mean, we've never seen him bleed, so it's probably great.
True. Petition to make him bleed.
You guys can see a picture of me. I think it's pretty clear I've never tanned in my life.
I've never had sunburn in my life.
Get out.
Sunburn, that is something I can talk about.
No, I'm calling bullshit. What do you mean you've never had a sunburn?
I've never had sunburn in my life. I've been really lucky.
I've never been sunburned.
I mean, there are people in the UK who have been sunburned. I mean, there's a lot of people.
Yeah, when they come to Australia.
Yes. Yeah. Or the United States.
Or just travel anywhere else.
Pretty much everywhere
or
else.
Spain.
Like, anywhere. Literally, even in Austria, they get sunburned. It's ridiculous.
Do get sun here for like 3 days of the year.
Aaron hasn't earned his sun license.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I think it's because England doesn't have a son, they have a daughter.
Oh no.
I remember like a year ago, a bit more than a year ago, I had a lunch with my grandma, and as I was going home, I crossed through the Louvre because it's a shortcut from her house to my house. And there were like British people complaining. Yeah.
He's a French bastard.
British people waiting in line. What? No, you don't have to pay to... Yeah, I didn't go inside. I just crossed the courtyard.
You are going to get paid out for this once your story's finished.
Yeah. So, the whole story is that I went through there. It was quite sunny, so I was taking my time, and there was like a lot of people waiting in line, and obviously some of them were British. I recognized the accent, and they were complaining about the sun, and they looked kind of red.
That's like...
It's Paris. It's not a particularly sunny or hot place, but for them, it was like almost unbearable. It was like, I don't know, 30 degrees outside, max?
Oh.
I actually love the sun, like whenever it does... Whenever it does rear its head, I absolutely love the sun. There are some people who will just turn red even if it's slightly light outside.
It was 40 degrees here today. I do not like the sun.
I do have the same skin condition as Aaron, though. So I almost never sunburn. It happened to me once in my life, a real sunburn.
So guys, can we just talk about for a minute? I was going home the other day and I went through the Louvre because I live in Paris. Hey guys, I have a similar story. The other day, I was actually... I was actually walking through home. No, I took a shortcut through the Sydney Opera House, and then I went over the Sydney Harbour Bridge and climbed all the roof as a shortcut, like, because that's where I live.
I'm just from, like, Melbourne, and we have no landmarks that anyone recognizes. So
I wanted to make a joke about Austria, but I can't think of anything.
Yeah, the best shortcut I've ever taken was through a Buffalo Wild Wings. So
gross.
Do you say Belgium?
Buffalo Wild Wings.
I heard. No, I heard something.
They're both gross.
Do you also take shortcuts through, like, the Eiffel Tower? Is that also shortcuts that you take?
No, it's like way. It's like on the other side of.
Yeah, you climb up.
It's on the other side of the city.
Steph. It wouldn't.
Oh no,
you're so jealous, Steph.
That's just because it was full of tourists. That's what matters in the story.
What matters really is that you're going through the loop.
He is a true French man. My stepdad is French, and most of his stories involve tourists ruining his day as well.
Tourists or terrorists?
Same.
Tourists.
Yes.
It's both like a French thing, isn't it?
The town I live in England is called Bournemouth, and Bournemouth is the nearest thing that we have to a holiday resort in the UK, I suppose. We get a surprising amount of tourists from other countries, and I just think to myself, who comes to England for the sun? They absolutely make a huge mess of the beach, though, and it just makes me think, is this what we're like when we go to, like, Tenerife or Lanzarote or something?
In 2001, I was, like, a little kid, and, of course, on the news, always about the terrorists and stuff, right? So I didn't really get the difference between a tourist and a terrorist, right? I really, like, the words were too similar for me. I was too young. And then we went to Egypt on a holiday, and my brother kept making these jokes. Like, my brother, stupid 12-year-old, and he keeps, like, throwing his backpack away and running like an idiot, you know, like, he keeps making these jokes. And I was just, like, 4 or 5, and then these people are looking at us, and I'm basically like, oh, don't worry, we're just terrorists.
Oh, my God.
It was really bad. My mom was so embarrassed.
That sounds like an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes.
those poor people in the airport were literally panicking, because German and English has the same words for those things.
My parents told me a story when I was young, like, sort of before I turned 4. We lived on a place called Black Gin Creek Road, and that's kind of a racist term for an Aboriginal woman, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, my parents had to go to the post office and register their address, and the lady behind the counter was an Aboriginal woman, and they were like, what's your street name? And they were like, do we have to say? She's like, yeah. They were like, Black Gin Creek Road.
That makes it worse, though. It makes it worse to be like, oh, no.
Oh, it's like, oh, God, listen, I'm not proud of it. I didn't name the road.
There's a green text I saw a couple days ago on 4chan. I saved it. Be me, 6'2", white dude. Phone bill is due. Use Cricket. Use the fake name for the account because they don't check ID. Don't remember what it is. Go to Cricket store. Black dude working. Give him my number. He looks up my name with my phone number. Tyron Watermelon? Oh fuck, that JPEG. He looks shocked. Looks up at me. Your name is Tyron Watermelon? Straight face. Yes. Really? Yeah. Pay my bill. All he can say is, have a nice day. Leave. My face went.
Totally out of the blue, but just speaking of customer service, I just have a customer service story that I would like to share, if that is okay for a moment.
Hell yes.
Great. I work in retail, and I don't know if this is going to make anyone else as angry as it made me, but this absolutely sent me. I had a woman 2 days ago. And she came in with some bikinis that she'd bought, 4 bikinis that she'd bought at full price weeks and weeks and weeks ago. I know it was weeks and weeks and weeks ago because she bought them. They went on sale on Boxing Day. So she bought them pre-Christmas.
Can I just interrupt you?
Yes.
When you say 4 bikinis, I don't know why, but for some reason, a picture that she has like 8 boobs.
No, that'd be a bikini top. No, 4 full bikinis. So anyway, she comes in, and I thought, from the way she was saying, I thought she wanted a simple exchange for another size. And I thought she was saying, can I, like, when I'm doing the exchange, I know I bought these at full price, but do I get like the new bikinis at the sale price. And I was like, yeah, no, we can do that. That's fine. And so I was like, so what size do you want? And she goes, no, same size. I was like, wait, what? And she told me what she wanted. And I had to say it back to her really slowly so that I could comprehend what it was that she was asking me to do. This is how ridiculous it was. She wanted me. So she wanted me to give her a full refund for the bikinis that she'd bought weeks and weeks and weeks ago and then resell them back to her at the sale price because they went on sale.
Smart woman.
After she bought them. But she decided.
That's bold.
No, I want. That's daring. I wanted to punch her. And I.
That's smart.
And I nearly said, it's so. I swear.
That's very Midwest American, actually.
I was so red in the face. And I was like, so you want me to give you a refund for these bikinis and then resell them back to you at the sale price? And she said, yep. And I nearly said, are you kidding? But, you know,
I think that would be reasonable to say, though. I mean,
but our brand is so, like, our whole thing is like, you know, we always make anything possible for the customer. Like, and our refund policy is not even a policy. It's if you've bought it from our store, you can return it at any time for any reason. So I tried to say no to this because it was just so unreasonable. And I thought, you know what? If she just accepts it, fine. If she digs her heels in, I'm going to get in trouble for not processing this refund because we don't say no to refunds. So I was like, are you joking? So I get my coworker and I'm like, you know, would you come stand next to me while I tell this woman no? So it looks like we're like solidarity. And I was like, I said, yeah, look, unfortunately, you know, we usually need a reason for a refund. And because we don't have a reason, I don't think I can actually process for this for you. I'm really sorry. And she like looks at me and she's like, yeah, well, another lady's done it for me before. And I was like, oh, shit. Like she's gonna dig her fucking heels in. So I was like, oh, okay. Like my voice went up like 3 octaves, full customer service, like trying not to bite this woman's head off. And I'm like, oh, okay then. Like, well, because there's precedent, we can do it for you this time. But, you know, maybe just so you know for next time, you know, what I wanted to say is just so you know not to be a cunt for next time because I hate you and I'm going to remember your face. And the whole time I'm processing this, it's taking forever because it's a fucking stupid thing to do. And I was like, you know, I'm sorry, I've just transferred to this store from another store. And she goes, that's okay. You know, it can be hard to learn new things. Like she was trying to pretend like she was some humble, good customer. And I just wanted to say, if you were any kind of decent person, you wouldn't be trying to pull this fucking shit because who does that, who buys something and then about 4 weeks later wants a full refund to buy it back at the sale price. That's not how like fucking goods and services works. That's not how this works. And I wanted to punch her in her dumb face and she was like, have a nice day. And I was like, I had to go sit like down at the back. I had to go sit down.
But I think she's smart.
She's a mole. She's an absolute mole.
I'm totally going to do that from now on. Thank you.
I'll kill all of you. This isn't like a funny response.
What I would have done is tell her we're not allowed to sell used stuff. Like,
no, but
and then I'd take those bikinis off her and say you have to buy new ones.
She hadn't worn them. The bitch had waited.
Give yourself that little bit of then satisfaction.
Why didn't she just wait for the sale in the first place?
I don't know because they went on sale on Boxing Day. She could have got them at the sale price pretty quickly. And I'm like, it's not that she's poor because she bought 4 full-priced bikinis from my shop, which is, you know, kind of mid-range expensive. You know, let's say the bikini top itself might have been $60 and then the bottoms might have been another $50. You know, like that's the kind of thing she's spending on one bikini and she bought 4. So it's not like she's struggling and she needed the money.
I'm not going to lie. I've done that with video games before.
Oh, boo.
I bought a video game at like $60 and it went on sale for $40 a couple weeks later. So I went back and said the game was skipping and got a new price.
Fuck you. Honestly. I got so angry at her because it just makes me angry because, you know.
I think it's pretty common in America, actually, to do that. People are in the line all the time.
I have never, come across this ever in all the time I worked in retail. I mean, it might be a thing in America, but, yeah, it's just, for me, it's like, I don't know, it just feels like you're just trying to do anything that you can get away with. It's cheeky, but not a good cheeky. It's like you're being a mole, and it reflects badly on me. Like, it makes me look like I'm making bad sales and losing money. Like, you're affecting people when you do that. You know, like, I've never met another person who did that. Like, it absolutely sent me.
I would try that.
So, two things. First, I would try that. If it's like a large corporation, I wouldn't give a shit. I wouldn't do that for a small shop.
But if it's like a big brand store,
yeah, I would totally do that. Walmart, something like this, absolutely. One thing I want to clarify for the people listening, mole is actually a specific Australian and New Zealand slang, meaning a whore or slut.
It's, oh my god!
It doesn't have
no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I looked it up. I looked it up on Google and I found that.
I mean, context, Australians don't ever really use that to mean whore or slut. It's just any asshole is a mole.
Okay. I'll call everyone a mole. Yeah, it kind of means bitch.
Yeah.
All this time, I thought you were just referring to them as like a subterranean rodent.
No.
Yeah. Blind, yeah.
Moles are not rodents, but I get what you mean. I'm a bit nerdy about rodents and they're not at all. But there's one thing I really want to ask you about, because you mentioned it twice, that is Boxing Day. Is that a day in Australia when people just box each other at like fit fights?
No, it's the day after Christmas.
Well, maybe that's why she came there.
It's the day after Christmas.
It's about Christmas. cricket.
But it's a public holiday here, and it's pretty, it's like we do Black Friday sales, but you know how crazy shops are on Black Friday in America and you see all the footage? It's like our Black Friday. Like, the sales are that crazy. And like, the news will have live helicopter footage of big shopping centers, like the car parks and the traffic jams around them, because it's that insane. So working Boxing Day when you work in retail is a living hell, but they pay you double time and a half, which makes it worth it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So Boxing Day is celebrated in quite a few places. It's not just an Australia and UK thing, but apparently they celebrate it in like Canada, Hong Kong, New Zealand, Singapore, South Africa, and Massachusetts.
Oh. Do you do the sales in the UK? Are Boxing Day sales?
We do. We do Boxing Day sales, yeah. Apparently, Boxing Day comes from some weird old tradition where tradesmen would come around to collect boxes of money or presents the first weekday after Christmas.
Yeah.
As thanks for, like, good service throughout the year. It was, like, essentially a way of businesses getting even more stuff from their customers, I suppose.
Yeah.
So the fact that it's now, like, when businesses do all the sales is kind of ironic in comparison.
Yeah.
This reminds me of a funny retail story that happened to me a while ago, like 15 years ago when I started working. I was working at this, like, it was sort of like a restaurant, something between a restaurant and a cafeteria. It's kind of like fast food. But yeah, basically we had, it was mostly retail, and we had like these big fridges in the entrance of the place, and they were like sandwiches, salads, stuff like this. And at some point, there was one woman that came with a sandwich in her hand, and she looked at me like right in the eyes. She showed the sandwich, is like, "This sandwich, is it good? Does it taste good?" And like, I didn't know what to say. Fortunately, like,
"No, ma'am, it tastes like shit."
I was very lucky that this day the CEO of the company was visiting the place to check on some stuff, and he was right behind me, and he looked the woman dead in her eyes and said, "It's disgusting." He looked at her and said, "It tastes like shit."
Whoa.
There was the manager that was close, and he just nodded. He was like, "Yep, yeah, he's right. It's very disgusting." And she looked at us, she looked at the three of us, and she was like, "I was sure of that." And she throws it at us and storms out.
Oh, what? Yeah. That's so dramatic.
Classic French.
Yeah.
I had someone throw something at me once. I was working, same brand I'm working with now, but it was a couple of years ago. We're very, very, very big on customer service within my brand. We sell lingerie. And this woman walks in, you can tell she's in a foul mood, but I go up, I'm like, "Hi, how are you going today?" She completely ignores me, doesn't say a word. And so later up, I do the thing, I reapproach. I'm like, "Is there anything that I can help you find? Any sizes?" Completely ignores me. She makes her way into a fitting room by herself. I'm going to check on the lady next to her, and she walks out of the fitting room with like different I don't even know what type of bra she was looking for. She had so many different freaking styles there, like a push-up lacy and like a sport. And I'm like, what's your target here? So anyway, she like hands them and, well, she's like holding them and looking at them. I'm like, did you find anything that you liked? She's like looking at them. And I said, what kind of style were you looking for there? And she just like throws them at me and says, well, fucking take them. And I was like, what? And I like picked that, like leaned down to pick them up. And she like steps over me and goes like, never fucking shopping here again. And like, she like threw the bras at my head. I was like, she was like, terrible customer service. I'm like, I asked you 3 times if there was anything you needed help with before you did that. Why? Why are people like that?
It's weird.
Mm. People just have like a stick up their ass, you know?
Yeah. Just so stupid that she like said we had terrible customer service. And it's like, I tried to help you like multiple times.
I would cry.
I did. I went out the back and folded gift boxes and cried for a bit.
I would literally not be mentally capable of doing that. Like one time I was working a job where I had to like restock the shelves. I was just trying to focus on stocking those shelves. And that's all I had to do. I was not even really part of the store. I was part of a company that stocked this shelf of this particular brand, you know, like merchandising. And the customers keep asking me questions that are like for the staff of the store. And I'm like, I don't really work for the store. And I'm trying to explain it to them and they don't get it. And I felt so bad.
Mm.
And then I just started wearing headphones to listen to music. And then, of course, the manager got pissed at me for doing that because it doesn't look good. Mm. So I literally can't, especially with the music in the stores. I would just have a mental breakdown every day. Like telling the customers I don't work there is hard enough for me, but then being responsible for making them happy would just get me over the edge.
Yeah. I'm pretty good at it. Like I only have a handful of really bad stories because I do love my job and I tend to get pretty good customers. But, you know, the ones that do pull shit like that, I
have the opposite problem. I don't have this customer thing like enough. I worked retail for a few years. If a customer is being like rude or unreasonable, I do tell them to fuck off. I don't have a filter. I did have some issues with that, but I never got fired for it. When clients are nice or just normal, I'm very nice and I do the full customer service thing. But if one client starts like being somewhat rude and unreasonable, I will not hesitate to be even ruder to them. And actually, I never really got in trouble for it. So I would advise to do the same. It will not only make you feel better, but probably all the people around you that witness the stuff, whether it's employees or normal clients, will probably also partake in the joy of that simple act.
Dumb bitch juice. Do you have any fan stories, weird fan stories, creepy fans or good, just good quality fans?
Creepy fans or only fans or whatever.
All of those.
Hell yeah.
Well, spill the beans, Dan.
Yeah, I'm struggling to think of anything that we've dealt with in the past.
Usually our fans just message us memes, you know? They don't really get too crazy, but we did have one that got mad. What was it recently? She was mad about stuff that was going on in the comments. We weren't policing them well enough, and then
We don't sit and read through, you know, thousands of comments looking to make sure everybody's playing nice.
Yeah.
And she posted like a response that she thought everyone would understand that no one understood. And then she basically told us that she wasn't going to explain it to us and she didn't have to.
Right.
I think it eventually ended with her leaving the page and blocking us, which, you know.
Oh, no. Did she also announce her departure?
Yes, she did.
Great loss.
Whenever this happens, I'm like, oh, you say I lost a subscriber? Nah, a subscriber lost me.
That's right. I like we got a message from somebody asking if we were Amber, and we responded very nonsensically, and she was convinced that we were Amber, and then asked us why we had made the page. Amber, why did you make this page? What is this page about? How are you, Amber?
That's like an artist, isn't it?
You should have just said yes.
My favorite are the ones that just
say you identify as Amber.
They message us and ask how to join the page.
Yeah. Are you taking applications, good sir?
I think our best fans.
How do they not know how to join the page?
Yeah, how are you messaging us? I think our best fans, though, are the advertisers offering us $500 to post ads.
Yeah.
Those are our biggest fans by far.
I will give you $5,000 a day to post this video for us. You just have to join this group that gives us access to your page.
You don't need admin rights.
Click this link.
The first time we got that, we were so excited. It's kind of a sad story. But like it was like nighttime in Australia in the middle of the day for us, and we're like, should we do this? Should we do this? What's going on? We're gonna get money for advertising? This is great. And then we luckily didn't do it, looked into it and found out that they were just gonna get access to our page and remove
the song. Well, also we can't get advertising anyway because of our name.
We're not allowed to do it because of Dumb Bitch Juice.
I was very lucky that the first time it happened to me, it was real. But like, I might have felt for it if it was like one of the scam bots, and I didn't have the experience to recognize a real offer from a robot that's trying to scam you. I've received so many weird ones. There's one that I've been receiving a lot lately that start with, "Hi, admin. Lovely page. I will pay you to post generic videos on your page.
If you're interested to see..."
What's a generic video?
I don't know, but like it's just scam bots.
They never sound really human.
They always sound weird.
And that was when I almost passed the Turing test recently. That was like, don't worry. I will give you my original content, not crappy videos like other advertisers do.
That was like, okay. But it was still
passed.
It was now dramatic. The rule is, before we agree to any advertising, they have to send us a picture of themselves with a fork on their head. So we know that's real.
That's pretty file safe.
We haven't seen any forks yet, though, which is unfortunate.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Unfortunate.
Unfortunate was that.
Wish.
Don't encourage Aaron.
Hey, is there a meme that you guys hate? A meme that is really despicable to you that you wish would disappear?
That I hate.
I don't think I can answer that question.
I think all minion memes suck, right?
Oh.
And they're pretty despicable as well.
Oh, God.
Oh my God, Aaron.
I enjoyed
it. I was
really
literally waiting for that. waiting for someone to bring that up.
You're welcome.
I've always hated the NPC memes. I've never liked them at all.
Oh, with the gray dude.
Yeah, I've never liked those, and I would be happy if they were to disappear completely.
I haven't seen one in a while.
Wait, what gray dude?
There's this gray NPC man where essentially, like...
The vegetal guy?
No. So, like, usually the context is the gray dude will say something that maybe a lot of people will say or a lot of people will agree with, and it's essentially painting people with certain opinions as if they were NPCs or had unimportant opinions. It's just kind of a way of circle jerking, I guess. It's not actually like a meme, in my opinion.
NPC stands for non-playable character, if that helps you guys out. So it's like you're a background character, your opinions aren't really worth shit. It's generic.
Yeah. But like, it's true that sometimes you see people having opinions and it doesn't sound like genuine opinions. Kind of sound like they've been programmed to say this. That's why NPC, you know, they don't sound like real people. It sounds like video game characters. That happens sometimes. You see one group that are very NPC-ish, in my opinion, are Kanye West fans.
Once again, this was recorded in January 2021. There is no way I could have predicted what happened lately. Or could I?
I've seen so many Kanye West fans on music groups and stuff like this behaving in a very predictable and almost robotic way about their music. Sometimes you really feel the NPC thing.
Oh, I see it all the time, really.
It's like people who are like conditioned, like the Pavlov's dogs, you know? They have only knee-jerk reactions and they don't form opinions by themselves. They just adopt opinions that have been like pre-made for them. I think the NPC thing is the fine line between truth and conspiracy theory. Of course, there is no higher power like the Illuminati or whatever that was actually programming these people. but they sound like it is.
I do think that might be like a possibility that at least half of the population has some sort of tendency to just basically copy what somebody else is doing. Maybe just
because
they don't want to be wrong.
That is true.
So I think that it's basically people who'd rather just take somebody else's opinion. And I know people like that. They basically just believe whatever the last person they like told them to believe, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like even my mom, like I'll tell her, you know, I posted the meme about my mom going to the church friends singing, right, yesterday. I told her, look, this corona thing is not a joke. It's really dangerous. I gave her the numbers. I told her the facts and she believed me, right? And then somebody else tells her, oh, that's all not so bad. You know, they're just trying to scare you. And then she literally will change what she believes just according to what that person said. And then she can change right back.
Yeah.
It's weird.
My mom is like that too. Maybe it's a mom thing.
I hope I don't get like that when I have kids. It's scary.
She's always of the same opinion of the last person who talked or the person who talked the loudest.
Yeah.
it's frustrating. There is complete truth behind that principle. I saw a study, like a big study. I don't remember if it was business or marketing or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
But people were shown like memes, like from Facebook or Reddit or whatever. And they had to rate how much they liked the meme or the post, how good they thought it was on a scale from 0 to 10 or I don't fucking 0 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
And the post was shown with at the bottom the number of likes and comments it had.
Mm-hmm.
And the post that had more likes and comments or more positive reactions were always rated higher.
Yeah.
In reality, the number of reactions and likes were at random by a computer software that was just printing different numbers every time. It was not a screenshot of the actual post with the actual number of likes. It was just an artificial number of likes that was generated at random by a machine. And so people always rated higher the memes that had more likes.
Mm. Yeah.
Even if they did not really like them that much.
Other people will tell you what to like.
Yeah.
There's complete truth behind it, and I've even noticed myself doing it where I'm is that as funny as I think it is? And I'll double check. Mm-hmm. In Australia, they removed the likes from Facebook for a while as a testing thing.
Well, and how do you know what's good now?
Yeah, that was kind of cool. I liked it because it just kind of led to me being able to decide on my own if something was funny. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
I liked when they did it for Instagram because all of a sudden, like, all of the people I knew who are incredibly vain taking photos of themselves couldn't just, like, flex on everyone with how many likes they were getting. Suddenly, it was just, like, they couldn't just show off.
Yeah. And, well, I think there would have been a bit of feedback coming from people who had genuinely become used to getting that as their source of happiness and gratification, having that taken away from them. I wonder what that did to them mentally, where they weren't able to kind of compare themselves to others.
Probably a good
lesson for them to learn. Like most of us probably remember life before the internet, but no. I'm old as shit.
I remember it.
I blocked that out.
I have no memories of these dark times.
We're creating culture where
people reject Wi-Fi. Reject Wi-Fi. Return to dial-up.
Yeah.
I would just eat dirt and throw rocks, and that's it.
Maybe that's why there are so many Twitter accounts of people who impersonate celebrities to post jokes. Like, there's a lot of Twitter accounts who just post jokes, but some of them, a significant amount of them, often the most successful, pretend to be, like, not even pretend, but they'll be like, what's the name of that fat guy with a beard that's kind of funny?
Aaron.
Jonah Hill.
A bit older than this. Maybe it's Seth Rogen. I don't remember.
Jack Black.
Zach Galifianakis.
I was thinking Jack Black. Is it not Jack Black?
No.
Will Ferrell?
Yes. Thanks.
Woohoo.
What? He's not fat.
He's never been fat.
He's sick.
There's a bunch of accounts on Twitter like Will Ferrell unofficial or Will Ferrell but not real. And they post jokes and they always have lots of success. I wonder if because the joke is associated with the face of a celebrity, even if it's not an official thing and it's obviously not real, people will still
for sure
like it more automatically.
Well, when you think about it, if we really get introspective here,
Why do you think we all post memes for a meme page?
Whoa.
I just want the dopamine.
Yeah. It's all about that dopamine. Yeah.
It's my dopamine mine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for a long time, I posted memes and shit posts on my personal Facebook profile. And one day, I saw people were making pages and they had lots of likes and comments. And I was like, oh, shit. I want to have this number of likes and comments on my memes.
No.
Right?
Yes, at some point, I appreciate something more if it has more likes and comments, even if it's my own content. So that's how deep this shit runs, you know?
I still shitpost on mine.
It was two things. I felt that these memes were good that I had saved from 4chan and shit, and I wanted to share them with the maximum amount of people. But also, yeah, I wanted to have lots of comments. Comments mostly. Likes also. Even when sometimes when I'm on Reddit and I see a comment that has lots of downvotes, even if I don't really hate it, I feel compelled to downvote it as well. Because at the end of the day, it feels good to be part of a crowd.
We are pack animals and like
it's
a habit, like that's just how we are, and we're so terrified of being set apart and what that might mean that we're compelled to do anything if it means staying in line and staying in the boundaries, and you know.
Yes.
Yeah. It's funny though that like it's 100% what Steph just said. And then with that mob mentality that can come from that though, that's what we really have to be careful of as humans, because we have that power to just slip into really awful behavior if everyone else is doing it.
The comment section for like news pages on Facebook during coronavirus are just like probably
just
normal people who have read too much like
bullshit.
They've just delved too deep into it. And there's like thousands of other comments of people saying like we should arrest the premier for this, like our state and stuff. Just insanity.
They just say like they yell lies and just... Yeah, the live streams for coronavirus for Australia, it's like they're just the comments are just cesspits of like, you know, why aren't you arrested for these lies? And the woman, like, she'll just be saying something like, all right, so we had two new cases yesterday, but they were close contacts. We've got everyone else like tracked. And it's like, what are these big lies that you're so angry about? Like,
people who are angry are the first people to shout about something, you know? I find that like you might have like the best thing going in the world, and but because you're doing good, people will just kind of be like, yeah, they're doing good. But then as soon as anything negative happens, all of these people will get angry. But because they're always a lot more outspoken than the people who aren't angry, it always seems a lot more negative than it actually is.
Yeah. Preach.
So I'm from Melbourne, and my premier locked us down for about 3 months, and it was intense and everything to go through, but I'm glad it happened because we came out the other end with like very little happening.
But did you guys have like 700 people die in one night? It was fucking terrible what happened in Melbourne.
I think, we got to about 800 or so in total, I think, from memory.
Oh, okay.
And that was over maybe a couple of months, but it was escalating kind of quickly, but because he like shut it down so hard, we managed to escape, like what I guess the Americans or Europeans are kind of going through at the moment. So I'm thankful for it, but oh my gosh, like reading everybody talking about him at that point and everyone's like, he is a dictator. He's worse than Hitler. And that I'm like, what reality are you fucking living in? Like, he's a person who is currently, I guess, putting public health before the popular vote, which is kind of nice. We should be respecting that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm from Victoria as well, by the way.
To some extent, I understand a little bit the reaction, because when it started, I was the same. It was in February 2020. It was just coming from the media and the politicians. I was like, this is bullshit. Because, like, there's so many times where politicians or journalists try to, you know, make us swallow some big fucking lies. I was like, oh, this is one of the bullshit stuff from the press. And I didn't take it seriously. And after a few weeks, I saw that scientists and doctors were saying the same thing and backing them up. So I was like, oh, shit, no, it's real. Okay. If you don't trust science, I don't know, you're going to believe or be skeptical about just random shit. it seems.
Yeah, I had the same thing because there was like 5 different viruses that in the last like 15 years where it's like, oh, bird flu, swine flu, Ebola, and it's always like just to give the media something to write about. So when it first came up with China, I'm like, okay, like it's in China, let's just see. But then when I was like, okay, it's here now, then I was, of course, taking it seriously. But the whole time before, I was just waiting and seeing, basically.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
I was like a nightmare from the beginning for everybody because I unfortunately just coincidentally happened to watch something on the Spanish flu, probably about late December 2019. So that was fresh in my head and how they handled it. And they had a few different examples of how some American states handled it beautifully and avoided second and third waves and some didn't. And I'm like, oh, that's all really interesting. And then all of this came about like a month later and I'm like, oh, holy shit. No, guys, no, there's like precedent of this. It tells us what's coming and no one was listening to it. And yeah, I was terrified from the beginning.
Jess
and I actually had some scary talks and she and I made a bet that it would not get to 1 million dead in America because she had the doomsday prediction. That we were going to have like 3 million people dead by the end of the last year. So
no, hey, that wasn't even correct. I said you guys would be at like however many 100,000 and I was bang on correct.
Ooh. No, you said okay. It would be 2 million by the end of the year and we settled on 1 million for the bet.
Yeah, actually that's true. But the original number I was right on.
So I think the one thing we didn't take in was she was basing it on a lot of the older plagues and things like that. I think the one thing we didn't take into account was how much science has evolved.
Oh, no, I accounted for it, but I also accounted for American stupidity. That's why I came up with the same numbers.
Which is running very high.
Yep.
In Queensland, we recently had a 3-day lockdown because we've been really, really good with COVID. And then we had a case of the UK strain. It infected a hotel worker, a hotel cleaner, sorry, where people were being put in hotel quarantine. And it was a massively big deal because that worker, when they tested positive, she'd been on public transport and things like that. And we, at that point, didn't have that many restrictions left in place, like social distancing wise or anything, because we had no cases or anything. And so, yeah, it was such a, I applaud the Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk for doing that. But yeah, she basically slammed down, all of the real suburban areas of Queensland, slammed us down for 3 days because the UK strain is actually 70% more contagious than the strain that we had. And we were like, they said, it's not proven to increase mortality, but if we have more people sick than our hospitals can handle and people can't get oxygen or ventilation, we will see mortality rates rise. And we just don't want that. So, yeah, we absolutely slammed everything down, full on like lockdown. Stores were closed, everything for 3 days. And there was 2 other cases of it, but they were both very close contacts of the cleaner, like the cleaner's partner. And then somebody else was a very close contact. And then after that, for 2 weeks, it was mandatory to wear masks everywhere. And the thing is, it was such a short lockdown. It was 3 days. That's all people had to be okay with. And the complaints about it, yeah, it's like, this is like dictators and it's like, you can't tell me what to do. Like, it's just wearing a mask. Like, and we lifted those restrictions and now we're fine. There's no coronavirus in Queensland. It's like we live in pre-COVID times here.
Oh, yeah, my. I'm so jealous.
Yeah, same.
Negativity is just a...
But it's like people couldn't do it for 3 days without having a complaint about it and calling Anastasia Palaszczuk a liar. And
the worst thing is always these like protesters that literally go and protest in the middle of the lockdown with like 1,000, 2,000 people, in my country at least. And they literally go on a flipping protest, almost nobody wearing a mask, and they just undo everything the other people have to literally work for. Like, we're literally in a lockdown for a month, and these people, yeah, literally go and ruin it and undo everything that we have to sit at home for. It should be illegal, but then they will literally scream about dictatorship even more.
After we came out of our, like, 3-month lockdown and we were finally allowed back out into public, they had this, like, mass protest in the city and they mostly got arrested for not wearing masks and stuff. But they were protesting after the lockdown had been, you know, lifted and we were free again. And I'm like, what is wrong with you people? Like, I don't get it. You have your freedom back and you're literally standing outside going, I live in a dictatorship. And it's like, I don't think you've ever read a book in your life.
Yeah. Did you see after that lockdown was lifted, all the, what was it? It was like, there were like lines into Kmart and people were like waiting there at midnight, like rushing in because they hadn't been able to go anywhere in 3 months and people just love Kmart. We in Australia love Kmart. I can't stress that enough. Our Kmart is like the American Target, I've heard. Like, it's, everybody loves Kmart.
We have an Australian Target, though.
Yeah, but it's not as good as Kmart.
I don't know.
I would go to Kmart before I went to Target.
Yeah, Kmart had a massive shift here because when I was a kid, Kmart was daggy as fuck.
Yeah, like, Kmart was like Big
really
W.
Really uncool.
And Kmart was like Big W. And
Yeah. And if, you know, you had your clothes bought there, you felt a bit self-conscious about it. And our generation just flipped and went, you know what, we fucking love this place. And
but ownership changed. There's a new the ownership of Kmart changed, and that's why the whole flip happened. That's why all the stores got redesigned and now they've got all that really chic homeware and
they did a really good job.
Yeah, like fully flipped it, and that's why Kmart is outselling. Have you seen all around the country, all those Target countries, those little shitty Targets that are in rural towns, they're all closing and becoming Kmarts.
For real.
Kmart is amazing, and it's because ownership of it changed and they just fucking knew what they were doing, and now it's amazing. But yeah, I saw like, because I'm in a Kmart appreciation group on Facebook and for like homeware decor and ideas and stuff like that, because people just design their houses, these beautiful houses all with Kmart furniture. And it was just people in the lines, like when the lockdown was lifted, like rushing into Kmart at midnight, like it got absolutely fucking crazy. We love Kmart in Australia.
What if there was like a KKK Mart?
Oh, we'd probably, if it still had cute homewares.
If that was the case, our government would probably make a big deal about keeping it, to be honest.
Yeah. They're awful.
They sell hood stands.
All the people there are basically Kmart employees that used to have a stutter. They're just like, I work at KKK Mart. I was like, okay, you're perfect. We hire you for KKK Mart.
No, the Morrison
I'm allowed to make
like,
jokes
it's
about
not offensive.
Ultimately, I feel a lot of community negativity surrounding COVID has come from the fact that we live in a society.
Oh, God damn you.
We do indeed.
It's true, though.
That's true. Sad but true.
I've read some reviews for Dumb Bitch Juice on Facebook.
Oh, please read them.
Some of them are very funny.
Please read. Are there any like one stars?
This first person doesn't recommend. She says, it's offensive to me and I would hope others. Just too totally annoying. Please take it away.
Oh, I love that.
There's plenty of good ones. Like, this page is one of the threads by which I'm still hanging. That's a nice one.
Oh,
that's a lot of responsibility.
Sad, wholesome.
Their profile picture is the cross section of a penis, I'm pretty sure. The fleshy inside.
If you're listening out there, buddy, you keep us hanging too. We like you.
One of them says, haha, meme printer, go brrr.
One of the funny ones is someone called Rachel.
Shout out to Rachel.
Like, it's like a picture of a really big Mexican looking dude, and he looks like he's wearing a nurse's outfit. He recommends, it says, everything is good there. Love their business and creative stuff they have for the holidays.
Oh, I'm reading that one out. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Nice.
Can you decipher that, Steph? It doesn't make any sense to me, but
everything is good. They love their business and creative stuff. But I think they tried to post a review for something else. Post a picture with this kid.
No, those were about our holiday.
No, it was for us.
No.
This one says, "Made my herpes clean up so fast."
Oh.
This page is run by someone who is no older than 18 to 25 and doesn't really know that much about life and the real world.
They called me young.
Under 25, I think.
This one's quite constructive. The salmon roe eclair was unique and divine. Our server recommended a dry red to pair with our entree, but my wife and I much prefer white wine.
someone's taken a photo of like a candy like box that's just on the ground next to a bin, and it says, "Here I find joy and enlightenment." I understand that one, but it does recommend.
I like this one that they recommend, and it just says, "Oh yes, your daily dose of fuckery." So, I mean, I think if we could sum up the page in one sentence, it would be
they got it.
Daily dose of fuckery.
Yeah, it's a very good summary. Yeah, great review.
Should I write a review?
Please do.
I would recommend Dumb Bitch Juice. All right. We're doing this live, so throw your suggestions. I mean, this is not live. We're doing this on the air. what are we reviewing?
Dumb Bitch Juice. I think the page is very good.
Nice. I recommend the best meme page. Ah, yes.
Does what it says on the box.
Yes, I'm going to say that. Does exactly what it says on the tin.
Oh, yep. Thank you. That's all I've ever wanted to hear about anything I've ever done.
Should have been called Bark, Bark, Bark.
Oh, my God.
Well, there's a
to
little bit
to be fair,
of
that was based on a meme as well.
Yeah, that is entirely based on a meme. It was just this like really long block of text. I don't.
Did you find it while you were tripping, or did we send it to you while you were tripping?
Great question. You can't ask me that question.
I don't know. There was a backstory that it just involved us all heavily laughing at that meme for a while. Probably not as funny as we thought it was, but I do enjoy it.
The meme's pretty funny, actually. The guy gets pretty mad. Maybe I can try to find it. That's not the meme, Giles.
Okay.
But that is a good
meme. That's what my dog always says.
That's actually so funny.
It's like a handwritten note, right? It's like, bark, 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 you like it, right? Something like that.
Yeah, it's like, I'm so tired of your dogs always barking, bark, 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 you must like it.
What?
Yeah, I'm desperately looking for the text now, and it's very hard to find.
Yeah.
But it was just somebody complaining about their neighbor's dogs, and it was just really well delivered. It wasn't a question, it was a statement. You must like it. I mean, it might have just been funny because I was like very, very out there at the time.
Surely, just right now received an excellent review. A friend just messaged me and said, I've been trying to tap out and sleep for about 2 hours now, but you keep posting absolute fire. So it's a great night for recommendations all around.
Yay.
That's not it either.
I love dogs. Dogs are amazing.
They literally are. I have 2 border collies and I love them both so much.
I have a border collie too.
Gang.
Would you say that dogs are a meme?
Yeah, kinda.
Border collies are the best dogs.
Dogs are a meme.
Are we going to post all of these ridiculous non-essential bark bark memes to the Instagram?
Dogs are taken and they're sort of, you know, changed to suit the community, bred to be different, but people keep, you know, taking the same variations and making slight changes. I would argue dogs are a meme.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I see your point.
The dog character is a meme, too. Like,
my dog is so dank.
Okay. This is going to be a lot better than you thought.
Shut your damn dog up from barking all day. I'm amazed you're home and let your barking go on and on. Enough. You must like it. The neighbor residents sure don't get with it. Barking dog is about to dig under the fences. Animal control likes to catch them. You pay. Bark, bark, bark. Signed, tired of listening.
That's such chaotic energy.
That's so fucking good. Oh, yeah.
That's better than what you expected.
But it was better. It's better because it was printed out.
The grammar makes it even more incredible.
Yeah.
The way I read it can't convey that.
What I like about that is I feel like halfway through typing it, they realized they knew they were using the wrong your, but they weren't entirely sure of that. And so they switched the letter U and they were like, better to be entirely wrong than to be just a little bit wrong. And the one sentence that's in lowercase, get with it.
Get with it.
It's whispered.
Yeah, get with it.
Like, I can imagine that being like one of those late 2000s like typography videos on YouTube. Like, yeah. I can imagine it being one of those with like the scrolling text that flies in and the dramatic reading.
The get with it is very ASMR. It's like, get with it.
I feel like they tried to print it the first time, and it was two pages, so they had to edit it, so it was a little bit shorter, so it could be on one page.
Yeah.
Get with it, like, right on the center, like, it draws your attention to it.
I also
could have made the writing smaller.
I also like the implication there. So Animal Control likes to catch them. I like the implication there that it's a hobby of Animal Control to catch dogs and not their job.
I mean, isn't that why they went into their profession of dog catching?
Animal Control likes to catch.
If you enjoy it, is it really a job?
No.
I would assume that Animal Control is paid for by taxes, but since they said they spelt neighbor with the American spelling, you can never
be sure.
Our taxes don't pay for things like that. Our taxes pay for. I'll get back to you.
Roads that don't get repaired.
Yeah, no, our taxes don't pay for those roads. The roads.
The American minimum wage doesn't pay for the U in words, and that's why they dropped it.
Yeah, we can't buy consonants.
No.
Do you know what's funny? Sorry, I know a lot of random shit.
Great.
Anyway, back when newspapers were becoming big in America, they used to have to pay for the print ad they were putting in by the letter, which is actually why they dropped their U's.
Mm. Huh.
Even in the word aluminium.
Yeah, why do you have to spend so much time saying aluminum? I don't understand. We got things to do.
I mean, I suppose you also have, like, I don't know, uranium.
Yeah, uranium.
Uranium bombs.
I'm gonna really push their uranium.
So if you guys are wondering how I found this meme, take a look at how hard it was to go through our chat log history here to find the actual meme.
Oh my god.
Well, I mean, a lot of that was the same day.
Are those all unread messages?
No, those are just us barking at each other.
Highlighted.
Cool.
I searched it. I
was going to say that. Would
I'm going to save that and show that to my dog because she likes the tea.
Yeah, she likes to bark. And
she's like, oh my god, what did he say? Wow, no, he didn't.
Yeah.
Dogs must really like trees.
Oh, don't.
Oh, why did that take me so long?
Is that your real name? Because it reminds me of that great song from Wild Man Fisher. You know Wild Man Fisher? Such a great and underrated artist. My favorite song goes like, Miss Jennifer Jones, she is lying dead on my porch. Do you know this one?
I'm not familiar.
I like it.
Did you have a fever dream? Is that...
People normally mention that my name is familiar for a different reason, but... Yeah, I like that one.
Marvelly reasons.
If I understood correctly, it happened in the 70s, and there was like Frank Zappa, who had a studio in some forest.
I love Frank Zappa.
At some point, like, he was on a break because it was the weekend or what, so he was not there. There was a guy who came into the studio and he said that he was a serial killer or whatever. And people were like, oh, that's probably someone that who works for Zappa. Very original. So he recorded all day long at the studio. And then they never saw him again. It turned out he was like an actual serial killer or something.
Fucking hell.
That is so good.
The 70s was wild for serial killers. There were so many.
Isn't Frank Zappa the guy that plays bicycle as an instrument?
Yes. Oh. Among other things.
So good.
Why was the 70s?
It's weird, but I enjoy it. Yeah.
The 70s was so serial killer heavy. Like, that was people's hobby for all of the 70s was just serial murder. It's fucking crazy.
It's quite the hobby.
Maybe they still do it, but the media talks less about it because people got bored of it. Because it's become so mundane now.
Maybe they just got better at it.
Well, we had like mass murders like every weekend, didn't we? For like over a year.
Mass murder.
Is that where they kill people in a church?
Yeah. That's called a Sunday in America. That's horrible, I shouldn't say.
You can say things that are true.
That's called going to school.
The Sunday service goes off with a bang.
It's often said that serial killers, not all of them, but a lot of them, do it for the attention. And that's why they'll often be like intentionally sloppy and leave clues behind them so the cops can somewhat chase them. And then the media talks about them, like in the press and shit. Apparently, there's like the attention is the reason why a lot of them do it. Or maybe it's not the only reason, but it's like fuels the fire. And since now there's been so many serial killers, I think the American people got like serial killer fatigue. They don't buy into these stories quite as much, like when they see it on the newspapers, because they got bored of it because it happened so often. And so that's why serial killers are kind of like happening less often, because they get less attention. That's my theory.
I just don't know why they hate serial so much.
True crime's actually kind of a
think
hobby.
It's become harder for them, though, because, like, the FBI exists now, whereas it didn't previously exist in America. That's why they were able to travel between states and continue to kill pretty easily back then. But then, like, that came in I think, the 70s or something, which was, like, peak, you know, time. But even then, they didn't have DNA evidence they could use, and now you're fucked. If you want to go and kill a bunch of people, but you decide to have a family, if your family ever gets a DNA test or anything, like from Ancestry or some shit like that, they'll find out that you're related and they'll come get you. Like, you can't do stuff properly anymore.
True crime's a bit of a hobby of mine, and I a lot of the killers that...
Committing crimes?
That's what I understood as well. That's what I thought she meant. It's like, yeah, doing crimes is a hobby of mine.
Oh, no. Just like...
fashion crimes.
Reading about it and learning about it. The killers that tend to kill for attention and notoriety, a perfectly well-known example would be the Zodiac, who leaves notes and things like that. But most of the serial killers that were active in the 70s and have been active ever since are usually... I'm going to preface this by saying it's not cause and effect. There's plenty of people who go through the same thing who don't become serial killers, but people who've come from broken families that led to sexual and physical abuse and lower socioeconomic areas. And it's one fucked up thing after another that just leads to a need to feel powerful in one way or another, because they never felt power in their life. And that's why a lot of serial killers are often serial rapists or serial sexual offenders as well. There's usually a sexual element because they lack control. And that's a lot of what the old serial killing was about. And then there were people like the Zodiac who saw the notoriety that other serial killers got and did insane things, like leave fucking ciphers and shit like that.
Thanks, Steph, for this fun fact.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. I thought I'd just keep things light.
Well, you know what I did for attention? I don't know if I talked about that before.
What?
One time I just wanted attention, but instead of doing some serial killer shit, I just took a boot and filled it with vanilla pudding and put that in the city center at night.
That's epic.
I just pierced my belly button.
And nobody really is like responsible for removing a boot of pudding from the city center, apparently. So it was like there for 2 weeks or something.
Hey, you created a job for somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one time I was, because I live in a really, really small town, I was on the bus home from school. Like, I was only 17 back then or something. And I hear somebody saying on the phone, like, literally, "No, really, a boot full of pudding." And I'm like, yes, they're talking about it. And yeah, that was the highlight of my youth.
Could we call that chaotic neutral? Is that chaotic neutral?
Yeah.
I think, yeah. 100%.
I think it's chaotic good.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt anybody.
This also doesn't benefit anyone besides yourself.
Yeah, I just put some pretzel sticks on the top too, and then I wrote on it "serving suggestion." And then I put that in the city center, and it was great.
And that's why you don't torture cats.
Yep.
Yeah, because I don't have to. I can just do the pudding.
But what did you do with the other boot?
That's the point. I found my boot and I didn't find the second one. So I was like, shit, what do I do with one boot? And I was like, okay, obviously, I'll fill it with pudding.
The natural next step.
Very resourceful.
There's two avenues. Become a serial killer or fill a boot. Fill it up with pudding. Place it in the town square.
Get it to pass that. I don't take it.
I was feeding the good wolf.
At a point in everyone's lives, we reached that crossroads.
Yeah, the good wolf. For sure.
That sounds like a very specific meme that someone should make for this podcast.
We should all fill a boot with pudding tonight and start the thing.
God. I don't have any boots to give up, unfortunately. I need those.
Yeah.
Hey, here's a crazy conspiracy. Here's an idea. You know those like weird monoliths that have been appearing everywhere? But what if they just spawned from a conversation between a bunch of dickheads just like this who thought it'd be really funny to confuse people by putting up a monolith in each of their respective countries? It's just a meme.
Putting up.
Yeah, let's do that with the pudding. Like, I still have more shoes where I left. Where I lost the second one because I do that all the time.
What? You do this all the time?
What?
No. No, I lose one shoe a lot of the time. Like,
but how?
Almost every time I get drunk, one shoe is gone. I don't know how I do it.
I've never done that before.
So, you know, we all have like a lot of followers between our meme pages who like a lot of ridiculous shit. So we could probably make this a thing.
Okay, well, I'll do my part tonight. Send a photo.
That monolith thing is so weird, though.
Please fill your boots.
It has to be vanilla pudding.
I don't think I would dare doing it right now because of the lockdown and the curfew. But when all this little thing starts blowing over, yeah, I could do that.
Put it in the Louvre.
Just put a mask on the boot and you won't get in trouble.
Sorry, hang on. Sorry, Nelson, is the Louvre not far from where you live?
Oh, I
know. We didn't actually know that. Could you tell us about that? You didn't mention it before.
Take a shortcut.
Could you use it as a shortcut?
Yeah, is it a shortcut near your house because you live in Paris?
To get to your mum's?
Yeah. It's not, is it nearby?
It's just a fucking, like, it's just like a, it's a big, it's like a big house. It's nice, okay. But it's not as special as you think.
Guys, the Louvre is nothing to Nelson. It's just, you know, it's part of his everyday life. It's normal.
It's a big house.
Yeah.
It's home. It's home to Nelson.
Maybe he lives above the Louvre in an apartment.
Oh, maybe.
Or below, actually I'm below in the sewers.
You live in the sewers underneath the Louvre.
Yeah, that's why all the rats.
Tom Hanks, very much.
I guess. It reminds me that the first monolith that was found in Utah, I believe, apparently it had been there for many years and people did not notice it before.
Oh. I'd be annoyed. Like, if you were that first artist to put it out there and it took like 2 years for people to catch on, you'd be like, oh, I don't care about that anymore.
How do you not notice the people taking them away? If they're there and it's a thing of interest, how have they not
noticed
these things?
They looked up satellite photos of the place and apparently they found a photo in 2016 and it was already there.
Mm.
How nobody noticed it before? They're stumped.
We're maybe very kind observant people.
Yeah, maybe they keep putting it there and then removing it.
Giant toilets? What?
On the side of the road, you know, the world's largest toilet. So they probably just thought it was one of those weird landmarks.
Yeah.
Like in Australia, we have like the big pineapple and the big banana. And
you have a big pineapple.
Could have been one of those boxes that they keep on the side of the road.
You got like a festival too, right? A big pineapple festival. I heard about that one.
Oh, yeah, we love giant shit. Don't we have a big mango as well?
Yep.
All these colonies, not so different.
We have a popcorn festival.
Nice.
It's not that nice.
We have a clam festival coming out.
Did you say plant festival?
No, I said clam.
Oh.
Clam as in the bivalve.
I care less now.
I was at a ghost cheese. Oh, come on. Ghost fucking hell. I was at a goat's cheese festival.
Goatsy.
I'm so sorry.
Ghost cheese. There's another
Goatsy
meeting.
Festival.
Ghost cheese festival. Tell me more about this. Was it a goat's cheese? It is hard to say.
Yeah, I was at a goat's cheese festival a few years ago. It was nice. That was the whole thing.
That was the story.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the whole thing.
Just for goat cheese?
I like food festivals. I'm not going to lie. I bet it was really nice. I think food festivals are great.
I've been to the Big Banana.
Nice.
It was really
nice. So am I.
Wait, did you guys know?
Don't we have a big shrimp as well?
Yeah, we do, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Do you guys... Pineapple. Don't you just call them prawns?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so
that's what I was going to ask about.
Yeah, the big
between
prawns.
The Australian cities, there are about 400 little coastal towns that pop up along between each and every single one of them. And along those routes, there are big fiberglass versions of different things. I don't know why we do this, but we do.
Damn. I want to ride this like a horse. I want to ride this into battle.
You guys need to know something that happened a few years ago. The big mango, that giant fucking mango, it just disappeared. It went missing. And then, do you want to know who's taken responsibility for the stolen mango? Nando's. Okay. The chicken. The chicken chain.
Nando. Those Portuguese fucks know how to mango.
But
I'm so sorry for anyone who's from Portugal. I have no issue with you.
But Nando's were like, that was us. But what I'm loving is when you Google the pink mango, you stumble across this image from a headline, and I don't know why, but it seems very threatening.
Found.
Oh, that's just really funny to me.
Culture is beautiful.
Found. I just can't believe we lost it. It's huge.
I found the big banana to be unappealing.
Did you?
Oh, God. Oh, no.
I'm okay with those kinds of jokes.
That giant goat in Sweden.
It keeps getting on fire.
Do you see that?
It's a goat.
No.
It's like a giant goat made of wood or something. And it's like in Sweden, I think. And it keeps disappearing or getting set on fire.
Is Europe okay?
I don't know how to pronounce this, but it says here it's spelt the Gävle goat, perhaps?
Yes. Gävle is the name of the city where it is.
Okay.
Gävleboken in Sweden. That's it. Yeah. You're very good at Google. Much better than I am.
It's got those little umlauts.
Google.
Oh, cool. Like an effigy. I like that shit.
I found a news story on the stealing of the big mango. It doesn't really answer any questions.
Nice.
So it just says, Nando's have confessed it was them who stole Bowen's big mango.
Sounds like an inside job.
In a media release, the company said they would like to thank the people of Bowen. The disappearance of Bowen's big mango has generated quite a lot of attention over the last day or so, and we confess Nando's was behind moving the 3-story-high, 10-ton tourist attraction.
10 tons?
What?
Nando's would like to thank the people of Bowen for being good sports about us borrowing their mango. We promise we're taking good care of it and it will be returned to its rightful position soon. The reason for the removal is still unknown. So... And I just want to know, they needed a crane to do it, so how did nobody see them? And the thing is, do you know where they put it? 500 meters away, it was found. It's just so crazy.
Sounds very Australian.
Wow. The international chicken chain Nando's. Somebody was having a laugh and just thought it'd be really funny if we kidnapped the big mango and deposited it 500 meters away from where it's rightfully supposed to be. It's 10 tons. Think of the effort that involved.
Those Nando's, they are cheeky.
Oh, a cheeky Nando's. We love a cheeky Nando's. Oh, that's hysterical to me.
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
For each of the admins of Dumb Bitch Juice, now this could be an individually answered question or if you come to some kind of a consensus, what cocktail do you believe best represents Dumb Bitch Juice?
Ooh. Fog cutter. A fog cutter.
What is that?
What's a fog cutter?
John, can you describe it? You've never heard of a fog cutter, John?
A fog cutter? This sounds like
it's like an old tiki drink.
Sounds like a weapon from Silent Hill.
The fog cutter is a vintage tiki cocktail, frequently attributed to being invented by Victor Bergeron, that calls for a mixture of several liquors, rum, brandy, gin, the juice of lemon, oranges, and orgeat syrup. The fuck is orgeat?
Orgeat.
Okay.
It's a syrup that's made from almonds. Tastes really good.
Correct.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And cream sherry. It is high in alcoholic content. I mean, it's a cocktail. What do you expect?
And has been called the Long Island iced tea of exotic drinks. Ooh.
That's sweet from the whole team. It was just a gut feeling.
I actually thought it was zombie. My picture. The drink in my picture was fire? A giant zombie. There was a giant zombie that I made, and I set it on fire.
That looks tasty.
Nice.
My friends and I all drank it with a whole bunch of colorful straws out of the same glass. So,
while it was on fire?
No, we blew it out first.
Zombies is one of those drinks that really fucks you up.
I don't think I've known a drink to fuck me up as much as the zombie has.
Maybe that is the true dumb bitch juice then.
That's like your bog hat.
Just like this,
in regular show, do you see the regular show?
Because there was an episode
where like Rigby makes like Rig juice. It's like just a bunch of shit, like pickle juice and whatever.
And he's like, it's a Rig juice.
And the plot of the episode is that they buy some pills that make you smarter to enhance their intellectual, stuff. And they become too smart, so they cannot even understand the people around them because everyone around them sound like cavemen or animals. So they have to find something to bring their IQ down. And so they drink the Rig juice and they become normal again.
So that's the true dumb bitch juice.
I like it. Wow. What I would put forward was a cocktail I had in Salt Lake City called the Grateful Dead. It was grape flavored. And I sat on that for about 6 hours of the evening, like just kept ordering drink after drink, not realizing how alcoholic it was. And I got alcohol poisoning the next morning in Salt Lake City, the home of the Mormons. That was good fun. I would recommend that one because that was sweet and awful.
I think alcohol poisoning is not fun. Everyone has their own drink that would be their dumb bitch juice. And it's kind of a individual thing.
That's so, so deep.
The real dumb bitch juice was the friends we made along the way.
Thank you.
The real dumb bitch juice is just me finishing a cocktail and ordering 2 tequila shots because I'm feeling in a fun mood and I forget that they're alcoholic and then I feel terribly ill.
I thought the real dumb bitch juice was eggnog with vodka in it.
Gross.
Yeah, I think my dumb bitch juice was my mother's breast milk. I'm dumb since I was a baby.
I'm not gonna lie. The eggnog and vodka did not. I did have mad regrets about that. Not because it tasted bad, just because I'm so violently unable to have dairy that the multiple glasses of that just didn't go well for me.
The real dumb bitch juice is the blood that flows through your veins.
My ass is the blood that flows through my ass is the real dumb bitch juice.
Okay.
You know what gets you really drunk super fast? When I was 16, my cousin bought me a bottle of vodka and I thought it was a good idea to try drinking it. I mix it with Gatorade.
What?
And I was really thirsty, so I drank a lot of know how I got that idea, but like Gatorade is meant to hydrate really well and go right into your bloodstream, right?
Yeah.
So I actually never drank vodka again because I can't drink it anymore because of that experience. But like if somebody really wants to get drunk fast, that's really a good life hack.
Has anybody had the experience so far during this pandemic where you go to every different store, restaurant, whatever, all has sanitizer, and you go to a store and you pump the sanitizer and it smells like bottom shelf vodka and you're like, oh God, I remember that night.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I actually do get flashbacks every time.
Yeah, I literally
have liquor companies that make sanitizer for us around here.
What?
Yes, yeah, same.
Yeah, it's an America thing, don't worry.
We don't want to produce it as, a government, so why not let our liquor production take care of it?
We had trouble getting it for a while, too, so...
Yeah, we had trouble getting it when COVID started. Toilet paper and hand sanitizer you couldn't get anywhere.
Now we have randomized, shortages, pressure-treated lumber for a while.
Milk.
Something just came up recently that, made no sense. Flour for a long time. People were like, yeah, I'm going to stock flour. Like, are you going to bake for the first time in your life? Because you're not.
Yeah, because everyone were making their own bread at home. That was, the big trend.
Just like
when these rich people all started hunting. Do you remember that? That was when the smoked meats meme came from.
Oh, my gosh.
Because at some point in California, I think, there's a lot of rich people who said, I don't want to support the meat industry anymore because it's bad. But becoming a vegan sounds too hard. So we're going to start hunting now. And we're going to eat only the animals that we are able to kill ourselves. And that actually kind of sounds like a good idea. But one man took it a bit over the edge. That man is Mark Zuckerberg, and he became obsessed with that, and he made a video
when he made brisket and meat.
Sweet baby rays.
Smoked meats, brisket and ribs. The video is so fucking awkward.
Because he's not
beautiful.
Repeating the same thing over and over again. And his friends, Luke, normal, and I'm probably not his friends, but people he hired for this, and they look kind of worried.
Sorry, his face. Oh, he looks so ridiculous. Oh my god!
It's like someone's taken these mints.
It's like someone's taken an AI's idea of what someone is supposed to look like.
This is unbridled joy and enthusiasm written all over that.
I experience Uncanny Valley when I look at Mark Zuckerberg, you know?
Me too, all the time.
I have a question for Dumb Bitch Juice. Would you rather switch bodies with Mark Zuckerberg or only post minion memes for a year?
Minion memes.
For how long do I have to use up? Forever?
I mean, he technically has an endless lifespan because he's a robot, so I guess forever, yeah.
Yeah, then I guess the minion memes.
You don't want to be immortal?
No, I'd go Zuck.
I guess Zuck, rich body, I could create a billionaire. Cool
things.
You can make a bunch of cool photos for good memes that are not minion memes if you look like Zuck. Like, you can literally just make a new Zuck meme by making a photo of yourself.
I'm just going to really quickly talk about something, tell a story to do with minion memes. This was a prank my ex-partner used to like to pull on me, and it was a cruel and unusual punishment. He was much taller than me, so he could physically restrain me. Ooh. And then while I watched in anguish, he would take my phone off me and go on minion pages and share the memes.
Oh man.
That's abusive. Abusive relationship.
Knowing full well that I'm a pretty prolific share poster.
Did you dump him because of that?
No, he dumps me. But let's not get into that.
You like too many minion pages.
He would like the pages, and then he would share the memes, and before I could delete them, he would go onto his phone and screenshot that I had shared it. And then every now and again on Facebook, he would just upload it and say, just a reminder that Stephanie O'Shea loves minion memes. And I just, nothing made me angrier than that. He really knew how to push my buttons, and it was such a fucking creative way to torture me. And sometimes he would sneakily like minion pages that weren't that active, and I wouldn't know about it until they posted. And like a page called I Love Minions would pop up on my newsfeed, and I would send him a text that just said, you motherfucker. That was what he used to do to me. And it was really quite funny.
Wow.
Again, you're not helping the reputation of Australian men.
Yeah, Australian men all seem to be awful.
You hear that? You hear that, Giles?
You hear that? Scumbag.
Yeah, I hear it. It's two against one, though, so.
Yeah, but that's what I think of when I think about minion memes. It started because we both met doing theatre, and I wore to rehearsal once this cute little outfit that I put together, and I didn't realise how it looked. I had on these baggy overalls and this cute little yellow top that said written and directed by Quentin Tarantino. Anyway, I walked in with my ex-partner, and this friend of ours pointed at me, laughed, turned to him and said, "You're fucking a minion," and walked away.
Wow.
I'd never been so insulted in my life. Yeah, so that's my dark past. I dressed like a minion once, accidentally.
Accidentally, sure.
Don't you dare.
That's my whole life.
Your legacy will live on.
Everything happens for a reason, Steph.
Implying.
Well, it honestly spurred my hatred of minions, and here we are today. So everything happens for a reason.
Oh, God.
I think it's probably a good way to close the episode, since we started talking about minion memes in the beginning, and now we're back at it again.
This is what Samuel Beckett would call
nothing good happens after minion talk.
In the beginning, there was minions. And in the end, there shall be minions.
Oh, God, don't.
Hang on, I've got a question.
Oh,
made condoms.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Minions.
Yeah, Ben, what's your favorite meme?
Oh. Oh yeah, that is a good question. I've really come back to the spliced image of Sasuke being choked by various things, but I think very favorite version is the Shaggy choking Sasuke. I'm not even at like half my palate, man.
This is
that's my favorite.
Yeah, I hated that one. You really have bad taste, so I don't even know why I'm following you.
Just ignore the rabbit. Just turn those off for yourself.
Yeah, there's been some good ones. There's probably one with Bernie Sanders.
Like, not bad, Sasuke. No, I can't do that.
You gave it a red hot go, though.
An attempt was made.
An attempt was made, for sure. Congratulations for trying. It is 12:20 in the morning here, you guys.
Just 8:20 in the morning.
It's 1:20 in Victoria.
Yeah,
it's
4:20 every day.
That's the spirit, sir.
That's why I've been on mute for most of this interview.
Sneaky.
So I think we will wrap up now.
Yep.
Unless you have one last statement to make or one last thing to say.
Thank you very much for having us on.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah, it's really cool. This is our first kind of media thing that we've done, so thank you.
Thank you very much.
And I'd like to throw a shout out to the rest of our team too. Karina, Leroy, Paige, and Harrison are the other four.
Cool.
I didn't forget anyone, did I guess? It's pretty early.
Nah. I think we got everybody.
I think we got everybody. Sorry, Mr. 8 admin, who we've forgotten.
Thank you guys for having us on here. It's been really fun.
It was fun.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, it was fun for us too. You're welcome.
Don't forget your boot.
Yeah. And your monolith.
There's a snake in my boot.
There's the monolith in my boot.
Is that a monolith in your boot, or are you just pleased to see me?
I vote to make Aaron our Jamie, because he's really good at pulling shit up. I'm impressed by his skills. We talk about anything, and he finds it on Google in 15 seconds. It's amazing.
I'm a QI elf.
Yeah.
This is how fucking corrupt I am. I genuinely was like, how is he the Jamie Morton of this podcast? That's how, yeah, I'm broken.
So, Juggalos and Juggalettes and everyone listening, thanks for listening. It was our pleasure to receive the admins from Dumb Bitch Juice, one of the best Facebook pages at the moment, who post memes and shit posting, at least according to my opinion. And thank you, the three admins, for coming and having this lovely conversation with us. It was really a pleasure having you here. It was lots of fun. We talked about a lot of things, including some pictures, which will be posted on our official Instagram account at Aneurysm Podcast. If you want to send us an email, it's aneurysmpodcast@gmail.com. And
you can follow us on Instagram at Aneurysm Podcast.
Yeah, I just said that.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I really do.
Listen, it's 12:24 a.m.
So yeah, that's
the podcast.
You can follow the podcast at on Instagram at Aneurysm Podcast. We, I mean, no, fuck. Oh shit! I forgot what I wanted to say. This is great. This is just like
bottom text.
We're gonna go with this bottom text.